Welcome to the Abiloute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. The title of my message today is Our God Who Knows. Our God Who Knows. He's our God who knows everything, but He also is our God who knows us. And He knows our weakness. He's our God who knows exactly what we have gone through in our life. Do you know He's a God that doesn't just look from the outside in our life, but He's a God who actually knows exactly what we've experienced in our pain, in our suffering, in our trials, and our temptations. He's our God who truly knows. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. If I wanted to boast, this is the Apostle Paul, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Uh-oh. Just blow up some theology right there, won't it? Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, but each time He said, My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Really? Really, God? Really? My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad, this is Paul talking again, now I am glad to boast about my weakness. I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and hardships and persecution and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the gospel, the power of God that leads us to salvation. God, thank you that you didn't leave us alone. You sent us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to confirm that we are children of God, to confirm what your word is, to confirm the truth in our life. And God, today, I pray that you will bring revelation to our minds and hearts and renew our minds and help us to understand you made us in weakness, God. You made us to be weak so you could be strong. God, I pray that in our weakness, above all things, Lord God, we would learn to run to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, God's original plan from the beginning was to design you in weakness. With limitations. In lack. Like, He designed you that when you go run and exercise, you get tired. It's true. You know, He designed you to get old and fall apart. Yeah, so much fun. And like Pastor Brad said last week, he goes like, do you know that every person Jesus healed died? Even the guy He rose from the dead died? It's crazy. Yeah, he died twice. Like, that's fun. He designed you. Now, we know in the garden He made us perfect. But in perfect relationship with Him, still with limitations. Right? Still, He designed us with limitations. And he knew in the garden when he created us that we would fall and he would have to come back and redeem us. So God's the all-knowing God too. So when he made us, he knew we would be weak. He designed us in weakness so that he could show off his glory in our weakness. How awesome is this? I think this is so powerful. This is powerful to me to understand that my God is not just only a God that looks in on my weakness and he says, I made you with weakness so I could come through you and shine through you. And where you end, I will begin to shine. I will begin to show off my glory. He not only became that kind of God, but he is also the God who became one of us. So I just want to think about this, like if our life here on earth was like this giant snow globe and you're like going to shake that thing all up. Sometimes there's storms and it's like goes all crazy in there, right? And we don't have just a God that looks in on the outside of our snow globe and just, sometimes it gets shaken all up. He's like, man, it's really hard to be you guys. You're like, God help me. You know, so many times I think we've seen God this way, that he's just only from the outside looking in. He's not only from the outside looking in, church. He's a God who knows, intimately knows your weakness, who's been there, who didn't just stay on the outside of your snow globe, who came and allowed himself to be born inside your snow globe, if you're still with me. Right? Like, are we talking about the Bible still? Okay, what are we talking about here? Man, he came inside that thing. There's no veil or this hard glass barrier between us and him. No, he came inside and lived through the storm of life. He experienced all that. Just like you and me. Just like you and me. Man, he's a God who understands our weakness, who knows our weakness. And when he says to Paul, he's like, he drives Paul to this place where Paul, he starts to like love his weakness. That seems a little bit weird. That seems backwards. And I'm just coming to believe that pretty much everything in the kingdom is kind of upside down from our human nature. From the way that we think it ought to be or what our natural inclinations are, the kingdom usually operates the opposite. And if we just think about this, as Paul begins to desire his weakness and find pleasure in his weakness and say, where I end, it's where God gets awesome. Because he really knew this and believed it. Proverbs 3:34, God mocks the proud but gives grace, power to the humble. James 4:6, he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, young men, in the same way be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God gives power to the humble. If you think about this, wherever we believe that we can do it on our own is really where the Lord kind of stops moving in power to show himself off. He is not a God who's going to compete with your ego. He doesn't compete with our egos. He says, where your egos, you goes. Not me goes. Right? Wherever our ego or our pride feels like it can make up all the difference or handle it or take it, where we think we can just begin and be, then God just goes, okay, well, go do it. Have fun. Don't forget to read Galatians 6. You will reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. Have a very nice day. Right? He's a gracious and loving God who doesn't just go, oh, man, well, they're going to find out how life really is. We're that way with our kids sometimes, right? They're like growing up, they're like, I know everything. You guys don't know nothing. And I'm 15, and I'm going to do everything, and you don't know nothing. And then they just go out, and you're like, okay, good luck, man. Have a good time. We're just like, but we go back as parents and we're all like, man, they're gonna get it. I mean, in some sadistic kind of way, we feel bad for them, but we're kind of also like, yeah, see, I told you so. See, we got a big I told you so hiding in the wings all the time because we're just carnal humans, right? We're trying not to be that way. And then at the same time, we love them just as much and really don't want to see them have pain. But at some point, we're kind of like, told you so. God's not like that. Our God's not like that. He's much better than that. All you parents, you guys have been there. Oh, we're living it. We're living it. I'm living it at every level. Once that little logic-based center grows in a kid's brain, oh, Lord, help us all. Lord, help us all. The grace of God. Where I end, he begins, right? Especially in parenting. Especially in parenting. And it's a beautiful thing to watch your kids grow and learn. And I know God sits with us, in us, empowering us in our weakness and saying, look, I know you end here. And yeah, where your ego goes, look, I'm not going to really go. I'm going to be there to help shape you and like help you grow through that scenario. But every time our ego takes the lead, we're headed for a fall. That's what the Bible says. Every time our pride is the thing we lead with, our know-it-all-ness, our have-it-all-ness, right? I'm just making words up right now. That's where God, I'm not saying he abandons you. His presence still lives inside you. The Holy Spirit's still speaking to you. He'll be with you always. But he is not driving the bus. His favor is not going to like pour out on you when you're walking in your ego. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is you're going to, Galatians 6, learn from your mistakes, which is good. It's good because we get humbled, right? And then where we decide, I can't do that anymore, God. I really need you. Then all of a sudden, the grace of God, the power of God working through us begins to shine. And that's where we fall in love with our weakness. See, Paul learned to fall in love with his weakness. I mean, these are beautiful words where he says, God, I cried out to you. 3 times I pursued you. 3 times I begged you. And I can't imagine what the Apostle Paul's begging looks like. This guy was a determined guy. And when he begged God, it's probably not like the way you and I go, please, but I'll just go buy my Starbucks anyway. I'm really hungry, God, feed me. And you're like, well, I guess I'll go to the store. Like, that's not the same kind of begging, right? This guy was a desperate kind of guy who knew how to pursue the Lord. And God said, listen, in the midst of what you have, I have a sovereign plan. I've been where you've been. I've been inside of your trial. There's nothing you have gone through that I haven't gone through. And so I know exactly what you need, not what you want. And you need humility. So in the Apostle Paul's circumstance, what he needed more than anything else, more than being delivered from his trial, more than being delivered from whatever this is, this thorn in the flesh thing is, what he needed more than being delivered from that was the maintaining of humility in his life, because God had a plan to move through his life and he needed the fertile ground of humility to work through. Because he's not going to compete with Paul's ego. He's not going to compete with yours or my ego. Humility is where all real growth comes from, church. And we have to learn how to walk in genuine humility. Oh God, I want to pursue you in my weakness. So now I'm glad. We can say this like Paul. So now I'm glad to boast in my weakness. Here's where I'm terrible, guys. Here's where I end. Do you know that's a crazy way to lead and to live? How about leading your family like this? Leading your kids like this? Like, look, I'm a mess. You know, when you do that, I freak out. I'm afraid when you do that. Like, sometimes my kids come home with their report cards, and I'm like, and it triggers all this stuff in me, and I'm just like, I start to freak out. And I go, okay, go seek the Lord. And I go, look, I'm afraid right now. What I want to do is like flip out, right? But the right thing to do is like lead with your weakness. Say, kids, I feel like flipping out because I'm so afraid right now. And I know that's not the way I should respond. We need Jesus. We need God to help us. And so when I feel like freaking out, sometimes I freak out. You thought I was going to say I do something spiritual. Sometimes I do something spiritual. And sometimes I just freak out because I'm just like you. So sometimes, and the right response is to take my fear and respond in trust, right? Respond in a way where I go, God, how can I be here with my kid in the midst of their weakness and them see my weakness and say, hey, look, we all have a problem here. You're struggling. I'm struggling because you're struggling and it's making me freak out. And so we need Jesus right now. So what happens is all of a sudden, instead of this becoming a battle in my personal family with my children, all of a sudden it draws us to intimacy. He gets with me. It's true. Kids will make you freak out. Life, your jobs will make you freak out. You can't control them whether you think you can or not. The only thing you and I can control is our relationship with God. This is what God gives us control of. And he says, I'm not going to control that. You get to control that. How you respond and how do you come to me? Man, can you fall in love with your weakness? If your weakness no longer pours all this toxic shame into your life where you feel like because I have a limitation, I am not okay, that I am less than, that God is not pleased with me. He's actually mad at me. He's up there saying, I told you so. He's not that kind of God. He's the kind of God that did this, church. He did this, Hebrews 4, verse 14. We have an empathetic God. We have a God who came in the snow globe. We have an empathetic God that didn't look in sympathy from the outside saying, oh, my heart breaks for something you're going through, but I never really did. But a sympathetic, empathetic God that goes, my heart breaks for you, and I know exactly where you've been because I've been where you've been. I felt what you felt, and I know what you feel, and I'm here for you. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Hebrews 4, verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe, that this high priest of ours understands our weakness. Let's read that one more time. This high priest, who is Jesus, understands our weakness. He understands your weakness. I'm just going to run this one home. He understands your weakness. He made you with weakness. He made you with weakness. He made you with limitations. He made you that way. Like he made me with a lazy eye. Some of y'all don't even never see it. But it's weird and annoying to me. Right? And I have feet that are designed for the man who's 6'4" in this room and has small feet. Okay? We could trade. If there was an operation, we could trade those suckers. But for some reason, I have size 14 extra wide feet, and I'm only barely 6 foot tall. In my mind, that's not fair. But I can swim. I'm telling you what, I can swim. Just one eye. I'm just going like crazy. Listen, in our weakness, in our limitations, right? He is strong. He understands us. He made me that way. He gave me the parents I have and all the little genes that go back and give me that humongous Tanner toe I've got. Scary big. Why? I don't know. Maybe I needed to be humbled in some other ways. Maybe God has a sovereign plan for me that in what I cannot do opens up an opportunity for what he can do. And I know this is touchy stuff, but like some people are born and they're developmentally challenged. They have real disabilities. Oh, are they disabilities or are they opportunities? Because the more we are weak, the more he's strong. The less you can do, the more he can do. Man, it's awesome. Allow him to perfect your loss. What you don't have, give to him. Let him redeem. Allow him to move through what you don't have to shine and allow his glory to shine. And the stuff that you could never do, you move forward in real faith and say, God, I'm going to do this anyway because I love my weakness. I embrace the fact that I end and you begin. He made you with weakness. He understands your weakness. He's the high priest, the one who's designed to intercede for your sin and your weakness. So he is Jesus is the high priest, the one who is set up throughout all eternity to forgive you for all your sin, and he understands your weakness. He knows your weakness. He's lived in your weakness, for he faced, this is the next verse, verse 15, for he faced all the same things we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Man, how beautiful. We will find grace and mercy to help us in our weakness when we need it most. But so many times when we find ourselves faced with our weakness, we hate it so much, we bury it, hide it, we pride it, right? We create a buffer of pride around it and pretend like it doesn't exist. Come on, I'm not the only one, right? I know this because I do this. Hello? We all do this. We've been doing this. This is our nature. Our human nature is to just cover up. That's why we use makeup. Come on now. Right? That's why the old Superman, you know, who wasn't really buff, wore like padded suit because they put him in spandex. He needed to cover up his weakness. Come on now. I'm not the only one with Superman. The new Superman, now he's really buff. But the old ones, I think they just had a masculine jaw. That's the only thing they had going for them. They really had to cover up their weakness. Right? Come on now. We do this in all kinds of different ways. We do it from spiritual sin in our life and shortcomings where we really feel, you know, serious about it. But then, you know, we don't feel good about our body image or the way we look. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, like, dress nice or wear clothes that fit us, you know, and own a toothbrush. You know, we should do those things, right? Right? And makeup's great. Praise God for makeup. And my wife always says, I was born to live in a generation where there was hairspray. Like, I was not born to live when hairspray wasn't invented. And I thank God for it. But so many times, we'll use some of these kind of things, barriers. I used to use my charisma to just control entire rooms because I was afraid that people would get to know me. For real, on the inside. I was so afraid that I would just dominate. I mean, it didn't matter how big the crowd was. I could just take over with my charisma. And you know what? God gave me that, but I started to use that in pride to protect. And then people started saying to me, Josh, are you a real person? Like, does anybody know you? Like, do you ever talk about anything serious or real? Come on. Where that was happening, the Holy Spirit wasn't moving in my life. Present, but not moving. You with me? There with me, trying to help me, trying to help me grow, help me let go, try to walk in humility and say, Josh, you really can't do all these things. You don't have to know how to do everything. You cannot know how to do things. And I'll love you anyway. People will have to choose to love you anyway. And I don't know where your struggles are, but those are some of mine. But the beautiful thing is that if I can find my life in Christ, in the midst of my weakness, and believe it's beautiful, and run to Him in it, not run from Him or try to cover it, but run to Him, I'm going to find an intimacy with my God that's deeper, that's more powerful than anything else you can find anywhere else in your entire existence. That's what He made you for. He made you in your weakness to run to Him. so you can know him and so he can glorify himself in the midst of your need. Our weaknesses tell us that we need God, don't they? But it's so beautiful that our God chose to live inside our world, to live inside our snow globe, and experience all the same kind of trials, temptations, and tribulations that we've experienced, so that when we come to him in our weakness, he understands what we're talking about. Have you ever talked to somebody or been the person who's said this to other people where they say, oh man, you know, somebody that I really love just passed away, and you're like, oh, I know how you feel. But you're like, well, actually, I don't, because nobody in my life's ever died. Or you've had somebody who's said that to you, and you're like, you have this unique circumstance. I have a unique circumstance in my leadership role that not very many people really understand what that's like. And even when I was a youth pastor or working in churches and serving in churches, this was never the same as what it was. And I remember the pastors that were here before me, that we didn't have the same connection until I carried the same weight and understood where they have been, stood in the same spot that they stood in. And now there's an intimacy and a connection with other folks that have led churches that it's really hard to make that connection with people that have never done that. And so when someone says, oh, I understand how hard it is that your building collapsed, you went through all this stuff and insurance settlement and building project and financial troubles and the church is relocated and yada yada, I'm like, yeah, okay, sure you do. Like, you can't understand that until you've done it, right? But other pastors that have been through stuff similar, like, you can go, whew, I know you get it. It just reaches in somewhere deeper, doesn't it? When you know that they know. Yeah, I know. Like ladies that have had babies, right? Like when a guy says to you, oh yeah, I know how that is. You're like, it's just like, oh no, you didn't. Right? You know, there's a big difference between when we have a few children, right? Most of you know that. And so when we had our first baby, you know, he's a big tall guy over here, and they treated us very different, you know, but then we had on our fifth and sixth baby, right? Like, when you're a brand new having babies, like, they kind of take over and tell you everything you need to do. But you know, they treat you like a queen. They treat women like a queen when they call them a grand multip, because they've had lots of babies, multiple pregnancies, right? Multiple births. They walk in, I'm telling you, they're like, what do you need? We know that you know way more than we do about what's about to happen. And we want to take instruction from you. It's a very different experience, right? Because they understand what's about to happen. But like when guys, we come in and we just start saying, oh yeah, pregnancy's really hard. It's really difficult. You know, my wife, she gets bloated and, you know, it's so hard on me, you know. And, you know, I mean, sheesh. Then, you know, I can never even, like, go to bed without showering because she's got this superhuman sense of smell, you know. I got to shower all the time now because I just stink because she can smell everything. I can't cook certain foods anymore and no more egg salad sandwiches. She just throws up all the time. So hard on me. Man. You know, and then we go into labor. Oh, labor. I mean, you can't even sleep when she's pregnant. I mean, 10 times a night she gets up. So hard to sleep. Pregnancy is hard. I know how you feel. You know, she goes into labor. And like, I mean, if I don't have my hand in the right spot, man, she just crushed my knuckles, make me feel like a little 3-year-old girl. So hard. Labor's hard. And then every contraction, I mean, they screaming and yelling. This makes my ears want to bleed. I know, baby. It's so hard to have babies. And then the recovery. Oh, the recovery. I mean, it just takes so long till she looks the way she used to. Recovery is so long. Get into trouble here. Come on, that's good preaching. When I put this together, it didn't seem so risky, but right now I'm feeling it's a little bit too risky. Oh man, come on. Really? Like I really get what it's like to have a baby. No, I don't get it. I don't get it because I've never been there. But look, we have a God that doesn't look at our weaknesses in that type of fashion and pretend like he understands. We have a God that when he says, I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be thirsty. I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like to be beaten. Come on. I know what it's like to be abandoned. I know what it's like to be hurt. I know what it's like to be rejected by people. He knows what it's like to feel the temptation of lust. He knows what it's like to feel, you know, the temptations of stealing. He was tempted to steal. Yet he was perfect. And made a perfect intercession and sacrifice for us so we could know him. And in that, run boldly into his throne. He didn't come here to judge us or condemn us, the Bible says. He came here to find us, to know us, to make a way for us, to be with us, to be our sympathetic or empathetic high priest who knows and understands truly because he's experienced and been there our weaknesses. He made us with our weaknesses, and in our weaknesses and limitations, he designed us to run to him. To run to him. You know, I think about my relationships with my kids and Cherish, my littlest one. She's 4 now, but this summer she's bounced on the trampoline and some big ogre was on there with her and then she broke her arm. And it was me. And so we're playing and, you know, she just bounced kind of wrong and broke her arm. You know what? I couldn't fix it for her. There's nothing I could do to fix that. Prayed for her, but all I could do was hold her and just love her and show her the Father's love. That's it, my love. That's the only love I have is what I could show her and be there with her in her brokenness, right? And we were there with her through the healing process to guide her and help her along the way and try to help her make the right decisions. But I could not deliver her from her pain. You know, God doesn't always deliver us from our pain. Sometimes we want him to. But something beautiful happened in our relationship because of the broken arm, the brokenness in her life. She came to me. She looked to me. She looked to her mom. She came to us to love on her and to be there for her. And it built a trust bond that, hey, when I get hurt, these individuals are going to be there for me. So actually, that is way more important than her never breaking her arm or if I laid hands on her arm got totally healed. You with me? I'm serious. Like that relationship, because more hard things are going to happen in her little life and in my life and my wife's life, right? We're going to have hard stuff happen, and we need that trust bond, that intimacy bond, that love bond that comes through her running to us in her brokenness. God wants you to run to him in your brokenness. When something breaks, he wants you to build that bond of trust and intimacy in your weakness and where you can't fix it or stop it or do anything to help it. You run to him in the midst of that and say, Daddy, I need you. Scoop me up in your arms and help me in my time of need. My son Titus, we were at school, his first day of school last year, and checking him in. He's pumped. This kid's a driven individual. He is awesome. And dangerous at the same time. Trying to choose the right word here. This is being recorded. I love this kid. He is going to be amazing. And he is so focused and so pumped about going to school. He's got his backpack. And you know, little kindergartners with backpacks, cutest thing ever, right? Going off to school, things like bouncing like crazy. He gets up there. The principal says kind of something. It's about time for everybody to go to class. And the principal goes, hey, you know, these kindergartners can't go yet because we need these people to go first. And he hears, kindergartners can't go to school anymore. He comes unglued, okay? He just freaks out. He just melts. He just turns into a puddle. He thinks they're not going to let him into school now, you know? Kindergartners don't go to school anymore. He's like, oh, no. He thinks he's not going to go. So he comes running to me, and I scoop him up, and he's crying and crying, and I just hug him and love on him until finally he calms down enough to where I can explain it to him. Hey, listen, little buddy. They're just sending another class in before yours. Look, here's your class. You can go with them. And he like figures it all out. He's back to class, right? So when I get done, I like stand up and turn around. And here's like two or three moms, other moms, just like crying. It's so beautiful. You know? That daddy just loving this little kid, you know? I was like, whoa. Okay. Didn't realize it was a show going on, you know, but to them, they're like watching a Hallmark movie, you know. I'm just trying to keep my kid together, you know. But something happens. Something happens that's beautiful when we run to our daddy. When his love, when the Father's love is poured out and lavished on his kids when they don't understand, they're afraid and they're lost, they're confused. When that happens, the Father's love pours out on us in the midst of our trial where we don't understand, and the peace that passes all understanding comes about in our life, it's beautiful. It is a Hallmark moment going on behind you. You don't realize it. Got to visit a fantastic woman in the hospital today, this last week, and she was in the midst of a death and a very timely trial. And to watch the love of God pour out through her life in the middle of that, no one understands how you can experience the love of God in the midst of such a tragic time. But it's real. Pastor Brad, communicating last week, he just kind of brushed over it. He has had 8 deaths in 8 months of people that he has known. And to watch him not cover it up, but watch him love people and allow the grief process and the grace of God to meet him in a place where he doesn't understand, he doesn't have answers, and he is weak. It's beautiful. It's a Hallmark moment. It's the love of God being poured out. Don't be afraid to allow your weakness, to embrace your weakness and run to God in your weakness. Don't be afraid to do that. You're going to find intimacy and life when you run to him in your brokenness, in the place where you don't understand. Learn to love it and embrace it like the Apostle Paul. In Hebrews 4:16, he says, "So, when you embrace this and you love this, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, the grace of God. There, we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And Jesus said this to Paul, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." His power works best in weakness. We're going to sing this song that Pastor Scott has, and then we'll close.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Sing that with me, Christ alone. Christ alone, cornerstone.
Through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us all. That means there's no one in this room that can't come to the Father and know Him through the work and the love of the Son. He made you in your weakness. Remember? Just the way you are, you can come to Him. Hebrews 7:18 says this, yes, the old requirements about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law never made anything perfect. You know that the law never made anything perfect, but now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. If you have never started an intimate relationship with Jesus or accepted Him as your personal Savior or made a decision, I want to serve you and make you the Lord of my life and repent for my sin and take grasp and hold of what you've done for me so that I can boldly run to the throne in my weakness, I'm encouraging you to make that decision today. Choose Jesus. Choose Him in your life. If you've been distant and felt far away in your heart to the Lord because of weakness in your life or shortcomings in your life, let's pray. Let's ask God to change our heart and give us a heart that will pursue Him in our weakness and overcome our desire to be perfect, which is not possible without Christ making us perfect. It's the only way you can be perfect is in Him. And that's going to happen in heaven, church. Okay? Your love is being made perfect in your relationship with Him. God, cause your love to be made perfect in my life. I want to choose you. I want to run to you. If that's you for the first time, anybody so bold, Jesus, I want to run to you. You're here in this place. You want to run to Jesus? Would you lift your hand? Anybody here? Amen. We got somebody in the back. Anybody else? Jesus, I want to choose you today. I want to run to you. I want to be saved today. I want to know you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? What I'd like to do is let's pray. If you raised your hand, just somebody right next to you, just lay hands on that person. We're going to pray out loud as a whole church. We're going to receive Jesus into our hearts. So Jesus, we love you. Can you pray out loud, church? Jesus, we love you. I choose you. I repent for my sin. I receive your mercy. I receive your grace today. Come into my heart. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. Change me from the inside out. Knit me into a family, God, where I can know you more. Help me to keep growing in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have at least two people make a commitment to the Lord today, so that's awesome. If you know somebody that brought you to church today, I encourage you to get with them and have them help disciple you. Get to know who Jesus is. If you need more information on how to grow, we want you to come and meet with some of our care leaders. Let's pray real quick, all of us together. God, draw me close to you. You're my cornerstone, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to be closer to you. We want to be more intimate with you. Help me. Come on, pray this. God, help me to just embrace my weakness. Help me to love where I end, to love my limitations, God, and cause me to pursue you in my weakness, to pursue you in my lack and my ending. God, I need you. I'm desperate for you. Change me. Use me. Change my pattern of living. Break down my pride. God, forgive me for pride in my life and trying to cover up or push out to protect myself and protect my weakness, God. I pray right now that you will fully and truly fill me and cultivate humility in my heart and life through and through, God. And let your grace work through my humility and through my weakness in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, church. Please come out to our encounter night and worship with us tonight in the chapel. I hope you have a beautiful day. God bless you.